Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
It's time for the Round Table with Round Daddy.
Hey, Round Daddy.
The Round Table with Round Daddy.
Me, James Strebel, Big Daddy.
With your host, James Strebel.
Hey, Round Daddy, James Strebel. Gotcha.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
If you don't remember, when I said they're all going to get fired in a year anyway, you know, Nolan's sister's like, I'm going to bookmark this tweet.
Well, did you
bookmark it? Because what happened? And Louisville's so important to Nolan that his first move on out of town was to give all his Louisville gear away to the Goodwill. All right, so how Louisville is he?
Well, that's not a Louisville man move, Mark.
No, Louisville is so important that let me drop off all my Louisville gear to the Goodwill.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, it's so important to me. Oh, can't wait to come coach here and, all this other stuff. And it's Louisville so important that when you get fired and all you do is work on your jump shot while you're here and try to submarine the head coach and,
Make
the TBT team.
Lobbying Lieberman the week of.
Your top recruit goes to Australia in August. That was awesome.
Oh, welcome back. It's the Roundtable here on ESPN 680, 105.7 live in the Liquor Barn Studios. Phil Baker, Zach Cantrell with me today. I'm James Strebel. Thank you, guys. We've got you until 6 o'clock. Tomorrow, play-by-play is back. Reds versus Red Sox. It'll be 6:40 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. And then we'll have you fully loaded on Saturday. Cubs versus Mets, 1:10 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. Reds and Red Sox resume that series, 3:40 p.m. on ESPN 680, 105.7. Tennessee versus A&M, 7:15 p.m. on 93.9 The Ville. And then Lou City versus Rhode Island FC, 7:45 p.m. They're home for Lou City FC here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Let's go ahead and bring them in. Let's start the blitz. It's Ty Spaulding, CardinalSports.com, the Rivals Network master of the message boards. Ty Spaulding, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
Oh, we're doing well. How's it going, fellas?
Oh, we're doing great. Phil, Phil's doing great. He's got a mint right now. He's feeling good. Drinking a little Prime. The Prime's gone. Now you just got some water.
I've downed that. That's been gone like for 20 minutes.
I still have some of mine left, so I'll sip on this throughout the show. But Ty, man, I mean, Louisville baseball. I mean, we started there a couple of times the last few weeks as Dan McDonald, his job looked like it was on the line. Maybe not. He's there now. But Louisville baseball. Two commitments here in the last couple days. One, a pitcher from Indiana State. It sounds like, Ty, they got that NIL situation worked out for Dan McDonald and his baseball team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't follow baseball portal recruiting as closely as I probably should, but everything I've read, heard, seen, these are two pretty good commitments. The Toledo outfielder is an All-American, and the pitcher was the pitcher of the year on a team that was actually in Kentucky's region. So, my understanding is that basically Dan, he built the program, high school route, develop, bring them in, have them buy into the program. And my understanding is that a conversation was had with Josh Hurd that there is money available to use, and the way that, you know, you win nowadays is to use what's at your disposal. So I think it was a more of a change in philosophy. I don't think it necessarily was that there wasn't any money there. Maybe there was some additional commitments from a money standpoint, but I think it was more of a standpoint of Dan shifting his mindset and really kind of embracing the new way of doing things. And I think it was as simple as that. And I think you're going to see Louisville continue to do well in the portal. So, look, man, I mean, this time of year, you know, I said the last time I was on, there's really nothing on TV these
right.
days. So Louisville baseball getting good definitely would not hurt my feelings. And, you know, obviously it's not a revenue sport, depending on the program. I think maybe a handful of programs turn a profit in baseball, but definitely getting that program back on track would be a good thing, and they're off to a good start with that.
Yeah, absolutely, especially with the success that Kentucky's had the past couple of seasons. I know that makes Louisville fans restless, so hopefully getting things back online for Dan McDonald, the Louisville fans that do follow Louisville baseball. And I have a buddy that has season tickets, and he's the guy I had lunch with today, and he was lamenting on how bad things were this season with the talent that was not utilized properly. We'll switch gears real quick. Speaking of not a lot of things to watch this time of year for local fans, how invested are you, Ty, in the TBT last year compared to this year?
I think last year I was super interested, maybe even more so than this year, because I just hadn't had any you know, feelings around Louisville basketball. And so, you know, we were grasping at straws around here to kind of channel our inner 2010s, watching as many videos as you could, you know, former players being back on. Whatever it was, I think people were just trying to grasp onto anything they could, and I think that TBT came at a great time for fans to do that. And I think it just kind of it gave people a reminder of what Louisville basketball is and what it should be. So for me personally, I'm gonna follow it this year. But if I'm being honest, I think last year, just given the lack of excitement around the actual program, I think for me personally, I was even more invested a year ago than I am now. But I do think, if you can kind of get Pat Kelsey involved and show him and the new players, you know, what a full arena looks and sounds like, I think that would be a good kickstart into the men's basketball 24-25 season. So I do think there's an opportunity to parlay some momentum from a fan engagement standpoint this summer into filling the Yum Center in the fall and winter. So that's what I'm interested in. What does the crowd look like? How does that get Pat Kelsey and company? How does that kind of energize them to help fill the Yum Center in the fall and winter? That's kind of the angle that I'm looking at as we get closer.
Ty Spaulding, give him a follow on Twitter, /X at Ty Spaulding. Interesting nugget. He was on with Louisville Sports Live last night with Ethan Moore and Taylor Lynch. David Thiel of the Richmond Times, he said if the ACC wanted to sell its naming rights for a conference name, it would have to garner 14 yeses out of 18 to do it. Does it just feel like Clemson and Florida State are just going to sabotage this entire thing in order to try and get additional revenue for this? Or do you see an avenue in which maybe they could possibly keep what's left of the ACC together through a naming rights deal that you've seen the Big 12 try to actively pursue?
Well, I think the honestly, with conference realignment, the interesting nugget to me that's come out in the last week, and I don't know if you all have seen this, and I don't know how plugged in Tim Sullivan is these days, but he actually, I forget what platform it was on, but he actually casually dropped that he's been told that Louisville has an open invite to the Big 12. Did you all either? You
yeah,
all
it was
that?
On that. It's like Sports 365 or something. I'm not well versed in it, but I saw that little nugget from there as well.
So to me, I think if you're Louisville, I honestly don't know that. Obviously, you're in a good spot here, but you could definitely explore the Big 12 if Florida State and Clemson are able to get past the grant of rights. I think those two getting past the grant of rights opens Louisville's avenue to the Big 12. So to me, I think if that's the case, I think you're in a position to where a massive naming rights deal with what's left of the ACC or the Big 12, I think you just compare those two options and see what best suits you right now. So I think it's kind of a situation where if Florida State and Clemson do leave and they are able to get past the grant of rights, yeah, that would suck. But on the other hand, you look at it as now we're free to go to the Big 12. So I honestly am not too worried about conference realignment if the Big 12 news is true, because I think the Big 12 is very, they're very proactive. I think they have a good mix of football and basketball. I think a lot of the schools in the conference would fit well with Louisville, and Louisville's played a lot of them in the past, Cincinnati, West Virginia. So to me, you know, if Florida State and Clemson are able to get out, I think that you just compare the remaining ACC and the Big 12 and go from there. So I'm not in worry mode. And again, all this hinges on the Big 12 invite actually being there. But from my point of view, I think, you know, obviously it's not the SEC or the Big 10, but I think the Big 12 or configured ACC wouldn't be the worst case scenario.
And how cyclical is everything? Because I remember the consternation of everyone leaving the Big East, and when conference realignment really first started happening, and you had West Virginia go to the Big 12, and Louisville fans, oh, we'll never get into a major conference, and da-da-da-da-da, and then end up in the ACC. It would be quite ironic if Louisville ends up in the Big 12 at some point. But you're right, Ty. It's nice to have a fallback, because I think you're right. If Florida State and Clemson leave the ACC, I think the disintegration of that conference is well on the horizon. And if you have a place where it's being aggressive with making sure their conference is viable and has money, the Big 12 would be a good place to land. Switching to Louisville football, a couple questions here for you, Ty. Jake Cook, Louisville's highest rated commitment. He decommits. Thoughts are he's probably going to go to Ohio State. And I've been around this plenty, Ty, where if Ohio State comes sniffing around, you can almost just tell him goodbye. Is there a plan to replace Jake Cook? Are they fine with their offensive line as it's constructed for the future? What's the fallout from this?
So I got to be honest, there was a lot. So I was out of town for work. I just got in late last night, but I wasn't on Twitter as much as I usually am. But I saw a little bit of, you know, people having these big picture takes of, you know, has this offseason given us reason to worry about the state of the program? I got to be honest, I think that is way, way over the top. I mean, Louisville staff identified two kids in the class. Their quarterback commit was a very low level kid when they took his commitment, and he's now a 4-star. Jake Cook was a very low level type guy, and he's now a 4-star. So I think, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, you know, they're losing guys to Ohio State, that's a problem. But on the other hand, they did their job. They identified guys early in the process. Their eye for talent obviously is there. And look, Louisville's never been able to and never will be able to get a kid out of the state of Ohio to come to Louisville over Ohio State. It's been that way. It's been that way forever, and that's the way it's always going to be. So, you know, obviously it's not ideal, but I mean, it's just one of those things that you really can't do anything about. And if you're talking about, you know, a resources, you know, I don't know that I want Louisville getting into a bidding war with Ohio State over a high school kid right now. You know, a kid that's maybe 2 years away from seeing the field. I just don't think I don't think that's a good strategy or approach to take. So I'm not too concerned over it. It's not ideal. It was probably their best commit in the class, but look, this is going to be a transfer portal heavy program. We've seen that the last 2 years. So, you know, obviously you want to stack high school classes together. You know, and Kentucky is doing a good job of it, but there's more than one way to skin a cat, and I think Louisville's just going to go about this recruiting process in a different way than most. Or not most, but obviously a little different than Kentucky. I don't think they're going to invest resources in high school kids on a consistent basis. So, you know, to me, I just don't get too worked up over high school recruiting and football. More times than not, these kids are 2 years away from seeing the field. I mean, TJ Capers is a great example. He was a five-star kid, and he hasn't made an impact at all yet. And granted, he was an early enrollee last year, and it remains to be seen what he does this year. But I think that's just a great example of, I don't think you can get your panties in a wad, to use a musty phrase, over high school football recruiting, when in football, most of these kids are 2 years away from seeing the field anyways.
Ty Spalding with us. Last one for you, Ty. There's been a lot of preseason Phil Still, Athlon Sports picking Louisville football to be like sixth in the conference and 7-5, and kind of having Jeff Brohm and his squad taking a not a major step back, but a step back from year one. Greg McElroy is the opposite. We played some of his sound yesterday of him kind of defending Louisville and saying they're being overlooked and slept on. What is it that you think is making some of these national publications maybe downplay Louisville this season or have them taking a step back?
So I think last year, when you looked at the schedule, there wasn't really a game on the schedule that you automatically chalked up as a loss.
Sure.
If I'm taking my, you know, red glasses off, there's probably two on the schedule this year that you're going to be a touchdown to a 10-point underdog, being at Clemson and at Notre Dame. And that just wasn't the case last year. There was not a game on that schedule where you were like, we're going to be heavy underdogs. You know, let's just try to get out of there healthy. Let's just try to put up a good. I mean, there's two on the schedule this year. So when you're just talking about win totals, I think from a schedule standpoint, you have those two, and then you have Kentucky on the road. So there's probably three games you're going to be an underdog in. And this time last year, you know, we were talking about Louisville being favored in every game. So the first thing that comes to mind is just the schedule. I think that's a lot of the talking points, what's behind a lot of the talking points. And I think, too, you know, I think there's a lot of, you know, a lot of the national people see, you know, the loss of Tyler Barron, the loss of Penny Boone.
Right.
And just kind of see the losses of guys, you know, in the second wave of the portal. I think that plays into it, but also another thing that plays into it, I think, is the mystery around Tyler Shuck at quarterback. So, you know, I do think, like I said, I think, you know, I remember this time last year, you know, one of the betting sites came out and said that Louisville's, I think it was Brett McMurphy from the Action Network, you know, projected Louisville to be favored in every one of their games. Like, that's not going to be the case, and you're probably going to be close to a double-digit underdog in two of your games this year. So I just don't think you can necessarily approach this season as there's not a game on the schedule that we, you know, we can't win. I think you're probably going to have to take a little bit of a more measured approach this year in regards to the schedule and the win total.
All right, Ty Spalding, man, thank you so much. Great stuff as always. We'll keep locked in. Enjoy your weekend. Thank you so much, buddy.
Awesome. See you guys.
All right, there we go. We go from the red to the blue. Cam Drummond, Lexington Herald leader. Cam, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was just telling some folks off air that I'm spending some days in Atlanta right now, getting some rest and relaxation.
Oh.
Me and Jack Grossman have just split a couple appetizers and some beverages right along the Atlanta Beltline.
Oh.
So I'm enjoying kind of the peak of the Kentucky sports offseason as Jack lumbers beside me here to hover over.
We got to get a Jack giggle.
Jack
giggle. Just put the photo up to him and tickle him or something.
A little tickle.
All right, hold on. I'll call him over here. Jack, they want you to laugh on air. he's coming over. You guys, all right, here we go. You're going to get your wish.
Let's
now.
Go.
Tickle him.
Yeah!
Journalism plus
that's right.
Journalism.
That's what I'm talking about. Cam Drummond, not only does he bring you the latest when it comes to Mark Pope and the Cats, he tickles Jack Grossman on air. Let's go. All right, get out of here, Jack. Go back. This isn't Mike Woodson right, talk hour. Get out of here. We're not talking about Woody. We're talking about Pope. get him out of here. All right, so Cam.
That was great. I'm glad we're shifting back into the Big J journalism.
That's right, Big J journalism. Let's go.
On June 20th.
So yeah, so you're just at a big recruiting event last week, and then this week, yeah. Some big visits for Mark Pope, Jasper Johnson, Caden Lewis, a couple of the big guns that Mark Pope had in for visits. Will Riley, you know, a few weeks ago had him too. How important is it, Cam, to have these guys on campus and still visiting, trying to continue that five-star high school pipeline that John Calipari so meticulously built here at Kentucky?
Yeah, well, certainly I think it's an indication and kind of a statement of intent from Pope on the recruiting trail. You know, I've spoken about this a couple times now, but, you know, at least from the offer standpoint, from the amount of time, resources he's putting into traditional high school recruiting, I think that should alleviate a lot of Kentucky fans' fears if they thought he was, you know, only going to be a three-star, four-star specialist, if he was kind of maybe stuck too much in the ways of recruiting the level of player, shall we say, that he had to a lot at Utah Valley and BYU for a variety of reasons. But the offers that are going out from him after he was down, along with all of his assistants at the NBPA Top 100 camp. These are four-star, five-star offers. You mentioned Will Riley, who really has taken shape as the first major recruit of
right.
Mark Pope era, who's a class of 2025 small forward who is all but certainly going to reclassify to the 2024 class. He's got a college decision coming up on Sunday. I know Kentucky's not the favorites in that race, but nonetheless, someone that Pope was able to very quickly get on the campus at Kentucky for a two-day visit. You know, obviously a player that's coveted by a lot of top schools around the country. You got Alabama, Arizona, and Illinois also comprising part of this top five. So Mark Pope's not messing around on the recruiting trail, and obviously giving out offers, dedicating time to recruitment, and actually landing those players is a completely different thing. And we'll see, especially with the 2025 class, what his real acumen is at a level like Kentucky. But he's certainly swinging for the fences. He's certainly dishing out offers to a lot of players who it wouldn't be out of place for John Calipari to be recruiting to at Kentucky. So I think especially in terms of the off-season recruiting talk, and when you're looking at the 25 and 26 classes, that certainly bodes well, and it's something to kind of be reassured about if you're a Kentucky fan.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's all well and good, Cam, that the offers are going out, but the real proof in the pudding, how musty is that? The real proof in the pudding for Mark Pope will be, you know, getting some of these guys to eventually commit. It's nice to offer them and be on the radar and taking visits, but at some point, some of these high-caliber guys, they have to commit as well. So we'll see what Mark Pope does in regards to that. Now, John Calipari has also been making the rounds via Dan Patrick and Jim Rome, and one of the interesting things that he discussed was, you know, one of the reasons why, well, I mean, there's a myriad of reasons why he went to Arkansas, but one of the main reasons why was because he wanted Brad on his staff, and that it was pretty apparent that Mitch Barnhart was not going to let that happen again.
Yeah, certainly, and I've been really interested to see kind of the John Calipari speaking tour that's taken place this summer, not only from his, you know, initial comments at Arkansas and the press conference that followed that debut event at Bud Walton Arena, but as you mentioned, kind of hitting the media circuits and just kind of the tone he's striking, and even I think we've seen it, I believe this was reported by The Athletic and maybe some ESPN stories as well, just that he's at least saying the right things in terms of realizing that he can't win with the type of players that he was recruiting so heavily. At Kentucky, the one-and-done model, obviously, kind of all the chips, you know, going to the center of the table with last year's team, and it kind of blowing up
yeah.
in his face when it mattered most in the postseason. So, I mean, that would be a constant thing that I think people in Lexington and Central Kentucky will be, you know, monitoring for the next 2-3 years, you know, however many good ones Cal has left in Fayetteville. Just, is the evolution of him at this age of his coaching career as, you know, a relatively stubborn, you know, older-minded coach,
right.
is this going to be something that actually, you know, yields a change in roster construction? Because going back to our first discussion, you know, the first question about Mark Pope recruiting, the good thing on Mark Pope's front is that he's probably not going to have to land 4 or 5 of these 5 stars every single year
right.
in the same way that John Calipari was reliant on doing, because he's going to recruit more to his system, because obviously the transfer portal has taken so much precedent when it comes to the formation of a college basketball roster. So yeah, the good news is I've got some John Calipari Arkansas stories baked into my life for the next, I don't know, 3 years at the
yeah.
old leader. So anytime things get slow, I may just, you know, take a look down south and pump out some SEO content on what John Calipari is up to.
Oh, absolutely. You have to, Cam. You absolutely have to. All right, last one for you. Sure. Louie actually asked this to Ben Roberts I think last week, and you know, Kentucky had you know, hung their hats so much on the NBA draft and how many guys are going to, how many NBA players are coming in, will be playing for John Calipari that season. It's going to be very different under Pope. How many, if you were to be able to put your hat on, your prognosticator hat, how different is that going to look as far as the NBA talent at Kentucky? And Ben Roberts said something interesting. He's like, okay, maybe one draft player per year. How does that sit with you?
I mean, I think it's certainly interesting, and I think it'll, you know, I think Kentucky fans, certainly towards the end of the John Calipari tenure, got tired of the lack of on-court college basketball results, versus, like, what the players, you know, how many players were going in the first round of the draft. This is your number of players that were going in the draft. So I think that kind of took on certainly less importance for Kentucky fans over the duration of Cal's time in Lexington, you know, if you weren't turned off, especially by the comment about, you know, the greatest night in Kentucky draft history, or Kentucky basketball history, when you're getting five or six first-round picks, then the later years certainly put you off. As far as Pope goes, I think you can expect maybe one to two players as the ceiling most times in terms of draftable prospects, but also a lot of it matters kind of the archetypes of players that Pope's getting. You know, if these are going to be experienced transfer portal players, obviously some NBA teams are more willing to take, you know, flyers on those guys because there's a little bit less room for growth when you're a 23-year-old entering the league rather than an 18-year-old. But then again, even looking at next year's team, you know, Otega Owe is an interesting guy who kind of fits the style of NBA player that right. A lot of teams covet right now. Brandon Garrison, obviously being a former McDonald's All-American, is a guy with a super high ceiling. You know, people continue to be pretty high on Colin Chandler as well, maybe not for the 2025 NBA draft, but certainly 2026 or 2027. And again, if Pope's going to be landing, you know, one or two five stars every recruiting cycle, every other recruiting cycle, we've certainly seen players kind of earn NBA draft stock based on college basketball performance, despite not being the most prominent portal player, the most prominent recruit. So if a guy comes in and shoots 42% from three and has good size in a Mark Pope system at Kentucky, then guess what? He's probably getting drafted at some point. Mm-hmm. But also, I think the thing that will continue to take precedent for Kentucky fans is the actual progress towards hopefully hanging, you know, another banner in Rupp Arena versus who's going in the top 15 of the draft. Obviously, this might be a bit more of a unique draft coming up here in a couple weeks just because of the Reed Sheppard element. I think it'll be interesting to see where Rob Dillingham gets paired up as well. But, you know, by and large, Kentucky fans are going to judge Mark Pope's success based on what happens at Rupp Arena, in the SEC, in Nashville, in the NCAA tournament, versus anything that happens in the middle of June on draft night.
Okay, good stuff there from Cam Drummond. I think you need to know that Jack Grossman's being sneaky. He has now put a picture of you on Twitter walking around some picnic tables and umbrellas, talking on the phone with us. I just thought you should know that.
Is that an SMU Mustang shirt?
Yeah, is that Dallas Mavericks?
No, it's SMU Mustang. So I unfortunately grew up an SMU fan because I grew up just outside of Dallas, Texas.
There you go.
I didn't have a ton of college allegiances as a kid. I was heartbroken when SMU got screwed in that NCAA tournament game when Larry Brown was the head coach. You know, that wasn't a goaltend. I want to continue to say that. I watched that in my high school library, super angry as like a 17-year-old. But you know what? It's going to be we're taking a nice walk here in Atlanta. I'm getting a little bit sweaty, so the extra large SMU Mustang t-shirt has gone on for the day.
All right, well, there we go. Cam Drummond, enjoy your time with Jack Grossman. Tell him not to go too crazy at the strip club tonight, all right?
I appreciate it. Y'all make it through another week of summer radio, and then we can fill another 15 minutes here next Thursday.
All right, there we go. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Cam Drummond, Lexington Herald Leader. There we go. There's the blitz, Phil. How about that?
Yeah, wear the sweatpants, Jack. You'll be good. That's good stuff from him. That giggle warms my heart.
Yes.
And my phone blew up from they love, and that's the cocaine for many folks out there. When they hear the Jack Grossman giggle across the masses, they just love it.
Oh, Jackie boy still has it. He still moves the needle around here. Now, a couple things real quick before we take a break and get to my football thing with Mark Stoops after the break. A couple stories. Number one, Donald Sutherland has passed away. Actor.
Hunger Games.
Yeah, he was Snow and President Snow in Hunger Games. He was also, he played like a CIA type character in the movie JFK with Kevin Costner, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. He was in the 70s version. He was in that Animal House. He's in a ton of movies. So there you go. RIP to Donald Sutherland. Now, the other thing that's going around, have you seen this video now? Matthew Stafford's wife
Ooh.
Has been on. She's fine looking young lady. She's on this pod. She's been on this podcast.
I'm on it.
And she talks about how in college that she and Matthew Stafford dated. I believe she may have been a cheerleader or dance team or something.
I believe she was a cheerleader.
She's a cheerleader, yes, for the Georgia
Bulldogs.
We'll
go to our correspondent over there, our correspondent. Who's done a deep dive into that. But yes.
Oh, I've already seen the...
But she... Yeah. So he wasn't very serious about her. So to try to make him jealous, she broke up with him and started dating his backup quarterback.
Ooh.
Why would you admit that?
Wow.
And then there's pictures of the backup quarterback floating around
on
Twitter.
That's what that's from.
Yes.
I saw it without no context. I'm like, why is this random Georgia quarterback?
He's a redheaded man with a buzz cut.
So are he
Georgia quarterback.
Yes.
So what was that quarterback room like?
I mean,
what would you do in a situation like that, James Strebel? Because you've admitted, like, you would, old Strebel that would, you know, wear a Tim Couch jersey and say
yes,
they're Tim Couch.
Exactly.
You wouldn't handle this well.
I would not handle this well at all. Like, the fact that Matthew Stafford not only got back together with her, but married her, and now they have multiple, I think they have like two or three kids together.
I think they have like four.
Or it's like four?
Four.
Okay, though. So
and
he's
she had cancer recently.
Oh, did she really? I didn't know that.
Like
thank
brain
you,
Zach. Cancer.
Did she really?
Yeah.
But yeah, she's admitting all this to the world.
Why?
I don't know.
I would not handle that well.
Yeah, I wouldn't handle that well. I would not have handled that well. Especially when, like, Matthew Stafford knew he was going to be the number one draft pick at some point.
Like you hear Big Issel's story about how
Sherry.
how he wooed Sherry. And it's just like, you know.
He dropped the girl on the tarmac.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like, that's romance personified right there,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
That's a love story. That's what Taylor Swift was singing about. But
that's right. This is on another level. I don't think this is a, and of course, Lane Kiffin has chimed in. Lane Kiffin's trading tweets with Antonio Brown right now. So there you go. So this Thursday Summer Radio.
Lane
Kiffin and Antonio Brown.
Oh, boy. I can only imagine what... I kind of want Zach to read Antonio Brown's for this. So somebody quote tweeted, I'm seeing this, and no, I don't have this bookmarked either, but on Outkick the Coverage, it says, this guy, I'm very familiar with this species of white dude. I bet he played his mixtape while he cracked... Oh my God, I can't finish this. This is a woman that was playing 4D chess.
She was.
And this guy, so do you know what his name was?
I do not. I have not seen his name yet. What was his name?
Joe Cox.
There it is. It's on the text line. It was the UGA backup Joe Cox. And I didn't read that because I thought I was getting got.
Look. That's journalism. It was on the website. Yeah. It was on the... Look, if I'm getting got there, then so be it. But there is a guy who looks like the Shermanator, an athletic
Shermanator.
He does.
No, he looks like the Shermanator.
Young Mitchell Hannigan with a buzz cut. But yeah, he's a guy that would probably try and sell you a mixtape outside of a convenience store, maybe a Dairy Mart off Klondike Lane in the early 2000s. That's what he looks like.
And now I'm seeing... Oh, what a mess. Now I'm seeing that there's this guy. He had like a... It says, Daddy's Sticker... chart. And
what are you reading?
What are you on?
So like this guy, this married couple, so I'm on Twitter. This is my algorithm. He has a chart. If he does certain things, like you do with a kid, like okay, you brush your teeth, pick up your clothes, eat a sticker, and then if you do you get
you
a
reward
pop,
him, yeah.
A popsicle or a cookie or whatever it is. Well, he has things like wash dishes, 12 pack of your favorite beer. Put toilet seat down. No nagging for a week. Change a blowout diaper. Naked hula dance party from yours truly.
Is this the same Stafford story or something else?
Something else.
Oh.
Bathe the Rugrats. I mean, some of the stuff I can't read. But if he cleans up throw up, he gets a very special gift. That's usually
usually
reserved for birthdays and anniversaries and Father's Day and you know
that Haktua.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Haktua. Yeah.
Haktua. So. Saw somebody's getting that license plate.
So
Zach, are you going to Funk Fest this weekend?
So that's what's on my algorithm.
I'm concerned about your algorithm.
I'm not.
I am too.
I don't want you to clear cookies or anything.
No.
I want this to happen. Yeah, I want this to be.
I guess because I'm like of a dad dude, That,
oh, you're the target market.
Yeah, I'm the target market for something like that.
The mics are on your laptop. They hear your reads for erectile dysfunction.
Right.
They know they know you.
They know what I'm doing. Alone time, all this, that, and the other. I don't know how I'd feel about that if my wife like had a tour chart for prizes.
Oh, you'd be the most proficient.
Oh, I'd be making my children throw up just to clean it up. And be like, I cleaned up another thing of vomit, honey. Put another sticker on the board.
I mean, I could just imagine you with like telling Kellen just the hawk it up. Yeah, it's just
yeah. Oh, no. So this Funk Fest, I know we got to go to.
All
break.
Right, yeah, what's Funk Fest? I don't even know what this is.
So it's in Orlando. Last weekend it was in Louisville. Like Jagged Edge performed.
Oh, Jagged Edge.
I don't think they're here, but you ready for this?
Too Short is going to be
Too Short.
Too Short. Okay.
You ever heard the song Blow the Whistle?
Oh, yeah.
Blow the Whistle.
Boozy and Jeezy are playing, too.
Ooh. Boozy and Jeezy. Hell, yeah.
Scarface.
Scarface.
Oh, let's go.
Man.
112.
Peaches
and Cream.
Honor Peaches and Cream, baby. Let's go. This is
on the waterfront this weekend.
Really?
Funk Fest.
This is mid-90s R&B heaven.
Bump and Grind, Zachy C's.
Little Bump and Grind. Not afraid of a little Bump and Grind.
Ain't nothing wrong with
that?
A little Bump and Grind.
Hell
okay.
No.
Look, this feels like something in Zachy C's. Wells, how is Too Short going on at 6:35? See, this is where I evolved.
Too Short should be the closer.
Look, Bajeezy's the closer of that one, so I don't know. I don't know.
I'm in Too Short camp on that one.
I don't know. Are we trapped in the early 90s?
We might be trapped in the early 90s. That could very well be the case. Too bad Bobby Brown is not performing. You remember Humping Around, the Bobby Brown song?
Very well.
Ain't Nobody Humping Around. I was, my parents, they would let me listen to Red Hot Chili Peppers' Blood Sugar Sex Magic, which had every expletive imaginable, but Humping Around was a bridge too far.
Everybody's excited about this lineup. I'm excited for Greenberg taking a photo with some of the... With
Too Short. Yes!
Too Short.
Yes!
I mean, this
Come
is,
on!
Look, this is the good stuff.
Craig Greenberg, you want to get back in the good graces of the city of Louisville, give Too Short a key to the city.
Yes.
That you want to do
Boom.
It?
Boom. Boom.
There
Make
you go.
Make the layups.
Yeah, it's a layup. It is. It's a layup. This is a layup, Craig Greenberg. Too Short gives an address. He gets a key to the city. Not only do you have Master P, but now you have Too Short. That's
Then a little 112 sprinkled on top.
A little 112. Peaches and Cream. God, I can't. Too bad SWV's not there. Sisters with Voices. Remember that?
I do remember that.
Sisters with Voices. Yeah,
sorry, I derailed the show. But
that's okay. All right, we got to go to break. All right, on the other end, a Kentucky football number that's not great. And more here on the roundtable. It's hot outside. Don't forget about my good friends over at BJ Heating and Cooling, a factory-authorized Bryant dealer. They teamed up with Bryant Dust Equipment. They'll do whatever it takes to make those rooms enjoyable again, especially since it's so damn hot out. Oh, my gosh. If your system is kind of acting funky or weird, give them a call today, right now. Don't wait till the weekend. Do it now. You'll get a free estimate. If it's a big job, they'll work out for you. Things with you financially, whatever they can do, you can 0% financing for 3 years with approved credit and more. BJHeatCool.com.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
We didn't shoot it well from three. I think we were 2 for 20. Don't care.
You're listening to the Round Table with Round Daddy. Now here's Round Daddy, James Strebel.
That'll never get old. That'll never get old.
No. KP, I want him to sit on the TBT bench with Tyler Ulis. That will never get old either.
Now that won't get old. That would be a wonderful picture. I'll hang it up here in the studio, right back here on this wall. We'll
just
take this
staring.
We didn't have the tice that he wanted, so he didn't know if he wanted to play.
I just saw something on Zillow. Twitter does this thing where it refreshes. It was something Zillow. It said John Calipari's house is pending.
Oh, it is. $3.9 million. Yes, his house is pending. I wonder who bought it. If Kelly Kraft needed
Kraft
another home.
Bought it to demolish it and start over.
They're going
to
salt the earth. They're gonna bulldoze John Calipari's mansion.
Dude, what if they bulldozed it and just made it the new practice facility? That would be great.
Dude.
That would be the that's the type of petty that would.
Did you see they got a new like weightlifting facility?
Oh, this is where the piggy bank's going to come out for the craft. The coal money,
oh, yeah,
all
everything.
This stuff, the wheelbarrow, Popey boy, you come speak at this, you'll get a little 10 mil over
here. You'll get whatever you want, big boy. You'll get everything and anything that you'll need. Let's bang through a couple texts here real quick because we kind of ignore the text line. Texter, I love how Rig is worried about getting to breaks when Double D usually starts his second hour at 8:15 a.m. Oh, Anna and I went way over the 5 o'clock hour yesterday with Weird Wednesday. We went to break like 5:10.
Look, it happens. You just move some things around, it happens.
Yeah, then we were fine. Texter, did I hear a hawk tui in the background? Someone has the same algorithm as me. Yes, it's been a running gag here on the show today. Hawk tui. Texter, too short. Nothing but a word was my jam. Yeah. Texter, huge smiley face stickers on the chore chart. Streeble, Texter, Streeble sent me that chore chart. Going to see if my fiance will agree to do it. That did not happen. There's someone wrote it on, what is this? Is this like an old school bus? Like Hawk Tua on a demolished school bus.
Oh God! So somebody got a like license plate.
That's what you're telling me during the break.
I don't know if somebody said it was caller Nate or what that calls it the Dieter Show. I don't know if it was his or if he was just sharing. But if he gets that and he can get it past the clerks over there, because that's something that can fly under. It's like
sure they won't know what that means.
Yeah, that's my nickname. Hawk.
Yeah, yeah. If you are not
and then
in,
put the number 2 and E, you're good.
Exactly. If you are not on...
It's my gamer tag on Xbox.
If you're not on social media or in internet culture, you're not going to want to know what that is.
You think Peggy from the Jefferson County's clerk's office,
no.
She's going to be like, okay, sure.
She's worried that, you know, making sure no one eats her tuna salad sandwich in the refrigerator in the break room. That's what's on Peggy's mind. Don't eat that pickle. That's my pickle. Leave it alone.
Not like these animals we have in the conference room.
Phil, I know you heard the hot dog stuff. I'm not going to go off on the hot dog stuff again. I promise listeners, they got mad when Anna ate the hot dog. There's no other way I can say that. She ate the hot dog.
Yeah, okay.
I had to. You know, that's what it is. She ate a hot dog on air. But yesterday, I opened the refrigerator, and there was just a styrofoam cup filled with tomato slices.
See, here's the thing. and Nick's my guy. Nick's my guy. I love him to death. I love him dearly. No, there's not a but here. I love him. This is why he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt on these things. And it's like, I know, I've seen him clean these things up numerous times. Yeah. But like when that happens, it's like you can't, Nick, they're not going to defend you, buddy.
No, they're not. I'm sorry, but no one's going to come to your side. There's, you know, no one's going to ride in like Gandalf riding in to save the riders of the Rohan from the hordes of the orcs and hordes. Said hordes of the orcs. had to look at the east at dawn. They're like, there's no one coming to your side, Nick. Nobody. Sorry, you leave a styrofoam cup filled with sliced tomatoes on the door. No one's gonna.
No one's gonna defend you. Nobody.
No. Sorry. That's not gonna happen. I'll save the football stuff for Andy because he will love this. So I'm gonna do this. We're gonna dive into what happened with Lachlan McClain today.
Oh okay? Boy.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. So I haven't looked. I purposely. I'm glad you remember this because I'm terrible about this on the Sunday show. I tease things and I never get to it. But three people have sent me things of this, and I haven't opened.
And apologies to the listening audience, but I know Andy will want to talk about this, so we may have to do this two segments in a row. But I don't care. The story is that good, so we're going to follow along here. So earlier today, our guy, Jason Entz. And I hope that, okay, here it is. If not, he didn't delete it. Okay, so Jason Entz, who's a soccer protector. He's a soccer guy. He's of the old guard. He tweeted this at 9:18 a.m. today. You ready?
God, I got to go through 18 different play-by-play things from Insta. Okay, I'm back on. I found it. Okay, go.
There are few spectator sports less enjoyable than watching casual, I only watch for the big tournament, American soccer fans demanding the most fundamental rules be changed. Sports only been around for 120 years and is the most watched in the world, but Billy Joe hates offsides. To which Lachlan McLean responds, it's the most watched sport in the world because other countries have no sports. That doesn't mean it can't be improved. The arrogance of hardcore soccer guy,
in quotes,
never fails to amuse me. Reminds me of, quote, my coach never makes a mistake guy. Both are just so dumb. To which it's you gotta love
Lachlan. God, this is good. This is good.
This is the Mona Lisa. So Ince replies, LOL, come on, Locke. One, yes, they do. You're smarter than this. Two, huge difference between improvement and let's get rid of the rules because I don't like it. One requires understanding the why. The other is knee-jerk. My coach never makes a mistake. The data chain equals the data change.
Oh, the Locke pivot.
Locke replies, number three is quite possibly the dumbest thing you've ever said.
No offense. There needs to be a no offense in there. But it's not in there. But
or the smiley winky face. Yes. He loves the smile. That because when he takes a shot, he always puts the smiley winky face to try to soften the blow. But to continue, they are not remotely similar. That tells me how desperate you are. All I needed to know, thumbs up emoji.
Yes. I just picture him seeing Locke. I'm interjecting here. If I've ever seen somebody just taking their pin, and he's like the guy that just like twirls it.
He does that.
And I just picture him twirling on his Spectrum News One, whether on the ones news chair, and it just with his pin, and he's just going back and forth like the hacker from Jurassic Park.
Like
he's just sitting
Dennis
there.
Nedry.
Yes, he's just sitting there just doing this, and he's just battling Ince while he's ready to record his next segment.
Yes, which was his on Mayor Greenberg and police discontent. But no, and then Ince replies, LOL, it's your argument about how you are never wrong, so how's it not remotely similar? Also, not even sure how it relates to at all to storming and demanding a rule be changed, but the fact you ignored my other question proves my point, so thank you. And then Lachlan McLean very uncharacteristically leaves it alone, which I'm surprised that Locke did not fire back there. I'm actually a little disappointed.
He fired back in a different tweet.
On a different tweet? Yeah. Okay, what was it? I missed this. Go ahead, Zach.
Ed said, also, what's more arrogant, watching a sport once a year and thinking you know how to fix it by removing one of the fundamental laws of the sport that's existed for more than 100 years, or being someone who watches the sport more than any other and thinks that's a terrible idea? To which Lachlan said, when your number one argument is, it's always been this way, you're telling the world you have no case. But good job, good effort.
Never change.
Please. If that was a serum, some serum in a vial.
It's the Bane serum that you need injected in you.
I would inject it straight into, like, I'm not a person that's afraid of needles. Like, it doesn't bother me. Like, I'd run and find a syringe. And I'd be shooting up.
Only to which he chimed in on the Olympics gear. To which, talking about Ralph Lauren continues the tradition of charging crazy prices for USA Olympic. Boy, he had a morning.
He had a morning. He wasn't doing anything.
Greenberg must have been on delay for this press conference or something for Spectrum News One Weather on the Ones because he's chiming in on soccer in the Olympics wardrobe.
Go ahead, finish.
I responded to this.
I responded to this.
Oh, you responded to the Olympics? I have missed everything today.
Ready? Okay, so, all right, because this goes on a left-hand turn out of nowhere. All right, here we go. Let me find it, because I'm just laughing at all the stuff here. It's the ugliest thing. Okay, so he retweets it.
From Darren Revell.
Yeah, and here are the prices, by the way. These are insane. So, for a closing ceremony Olympic hat, $198. Opening ceremony jeans, $398. Satin baseball jacket, $498. For the closing ceremony jacket, Phil, $998.
It looks like a NASCAR jacket, too.
Yes, it does. I mean, and then the hat is atrocious. So
Oh, I feel like the Youngs would love that.
Oh, the Youngs
would
love it.
And they'd probably storm the Capitol, too. But, I mean, they look like they'd love it.
Coop already has all this gear.
Oh, yeah. The Youngs, if you go on Bartstown Road,
you'll see this.
Yeah, you will see that at Molly's or O'Shea's or Baxter's.
So Locke says that is the ugliest hat. The hat is the ugliest thing I've ever seen. Pay $198. They'd have to pay me to wear it with a vomit emoji. To which I replied, you'll love this. I mean, I'm telling you, Phil, the piece de resistance is coming. I promise. Just stick with me. I tweeted, what the hell are these prices? To which I'm not going to say who it is, but oh, did he delete the tweet?
I don't see it.
Oh, man. Let me click on this. No, it's not. Okay. Because then Mark Blankenbaker tweets and says, this guy deleted the tweet. Damn it. He says, Locke, you know, Carolyn is going to want all of this and you'll reluctantly buy it just like the handbag. But there.
That's a great response.
It was a great response. Blank crushed it. But some guy tweeted back, was like, oh, here's what it is. Somebody named Duckhead. He tweets Biden economy prices. Then another guy tweets, when 100% luxury items, meaning incredibly high elasticity of demand, can be priced high, that's the sign of a strong economy. Because unlike food, etc., it's incredibly easy for someone not to buy this if they don't like the price.
Oh, that's wonderful. The algorithm. You know the Bob story about the Nike store out at the 2012 Olympics, I want to say?
No.
I was probably an intern. Oh, you'll love this. So the Shelbyville Plaza Olympics, or I'm sorry, Nike outlet store, the Olympics were going on. Nike was that for that. This is from my tell-all book. Jason Ikey, who used to work here many moons ago, Jason. Worked for like JMI in Kentucky and Bellarmine now. He set up a remote out there. Well, Bob thought he was getting like a talent fee of some sort to go out there. And I'm dead serious. Like the Nike, this is like at the, you see these prices for this. I'm pretty sure Bob just like went around and got a couple things that he wanted. It had to be. I mean, ask Andy about it. Andy will remember this.
Okay.
I'm talking like a Nike Olympic USA, like pullover, a Nike shirt, Olympic pullover.
Right.
And Bob was just like, all right, see you guys. just like walked out. And I knew
here's
he got
my talent fee.
But I guess he just walked out with it. I know Ikey will remember that story, but that was the last go-around that I remember for the Olympics. I had to be an intern. Oh, shout out to Bobby V.
I love that. That's fantastic. Yeah, shout out Bobby V collecting that talent fee no matter what. All right, let's read a couple texts, then we'll get Phil on his way. We'll call Andy Texter. In the words of Locke, get a better storyteller. Thank you. I had to find the tweet. I apologize. It was funny. Everyone else laughed. I'm sorry. Texter, Locke Pivot 101. Spectrum 1 pays well. Unfortunately, it's dreadful earning the check. Texter, Horrors of the Orcs is the version of the Lord of the Rings that was in the dark corner of Blockbuster. It was hordes of orcs.
Texter, Dan Horde.
I thought Tua went to the Seahawks the first time I heard Hawk Tua. That's a good text. Oh, man. Oh, I can't read that one. That's a look at that meme. That's a good one, Phil. You can appreciate that
that's
one.
That's a good one. Zachy C at 6:05 before the bonus hour.
Yeah. Texter, whose pickle are you eating, Rig? I don't like pickles. That's a known fact about me. I detest pickles. I think they're the worst. Like, I'll take them off my cheeseburger. I will not eat a pickle.
Will it ruin the entire burger if you have
If I take a bite of a burger and I get a pickle.
But you're not one of those if, like, the juice is still on the bun. That's going to bother you.
Like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Will that bother you?
No, it doesn't bother me. I can look past that. But if I ask for no pickles on a burger and that burger gets to me and I take a bite out of it and I get a pickle crunch and the pickle, disgusting pickle taste, I'm pissed. Like, I'm not a send my food back guy. I'm not. Like, usually if it's overcooked or undercooked or whatever, like, I'll power through it. That's fine. I know these people work hard and mistakes are made. But if I get an effing pickle on my burger, you're damn well, that's going back and I'm going to demand a new burger. Period. I detest pickles. I hate them.
Waiting 2, starring James Strebel, coming up next.
Well, it had to be Waiting 3 because there is a Waiting 2.
Oh, God, it was. You're right. It was like a was that Dane? No, it wasn't Dane Cook.
No, he was in it.
He was in it. It was like Andy Milonakis in it.
Andy Milonakis, he reprised his role. I'm looking on IMDb right now. And
2009, you were right. Yeah, I forgot about it. God, I love the first movie.
The first Waiting was really good. Yeah, the second Waiting 2 did not have Ryan Reynolds in it.
Was like Justin Long in it?
Still Waiting. It's called Still Waiting. So it's not Waiting 2. Now, here's the star-studded cast of Waiting, of Still Waiting.
This has straight the DVD written all over it.
Adam Carolla.
Okay.
John Michael Higgins. He's in a bunch of the, like This Is Spinal Tap type movies. Best in Show. You ever see Best in Show?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Jim's dad's in it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yes. He's in that. Other actors. Andy Milonakis, he had nothing else going on.
He's dead, right? I think he died.
Did Andy Milonakis die?
Am I making this up?
I think he's still... Is he alive? I don't know.
He's 48 years old.
He was old when he was doing that show. Everyone thought he was like a teenager. He just looked really young. But he was like in his 20s when he was doing the Andy Milonakis show. No, he's still alive.
Okay, I kill some people off. Okay, I maybe killed a bopper.
I've killed Tom Leach off multiple times. Because when Mike Leach died, I sent out the condolences of Tom Leach. And I did on the radio. But no, he's 48. He's still with us. That's one guy I never got. Like, he kind of blew up and got really popular, and I remember watching him, like, this isn't
funny. I rock bees on my head, but don't call me a bee head, right?
Is that him?
Okay, that's him.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
Yeah, that was like him and Tom Green kind of had that weird shtick.
Yes, well, Tom Green I thought was funny.
Yeah,
he'd like go out and do stuff in public, and like Jackass, Tom Green, Andy Milonakis, like, this is all around the same time.
But this is, and I know we got to get the break, but Andy Milonakis just looks funny. Like, I mean, that's what kind of helps him out.
Funny.
It's like
out.
The new comedian, the stand-up guy works against him because he's a good-looking guy.
Exactly. Well, the thing with Andy Milonakis, I think one of the reasons why he got so huge was because you thought he was like 15 making these ridiculous videos, and then you find out he's like 25, and it's not as funny. And you're like, okay, it's like a 25-year-old guy. Like, if he's 15 years old in his mom's basement making the content, then it's like, okay, that's pretty good for a 15-year-old. That's pretty funny.
The kid that pitches in the Little League World Series, that's, from the Dominican Republic, that's, in his 30s.
Danny Almonte.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. On the other end, Andy Sweeney, 107.5 The Fan. It's The Roundtable on ESPN 680, 105.7.